Thanks for everybody joining us here this morning. And for you folks on Zoom, we will give you a brief wave of the hand. Thank you. We're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're thinking this morning actually about the subject of spiritual gifts. So it's going to be a little different this morning. I won't be just confining my thoughts to these words in Ephesians 4. But I want to test our memories a little bit on some of the other places as well, where the Bible speaks about the subject of the gifts of the Spirit. And in particular, we're going to read about some of the leadership gifts the Lord has given to the church. But I thought this was still a good time to review the entire topic. And this won't be new to many of you, but I hope that I'll give all of us just some things to think about regarding spiritual gifts. Because you, as a person in whom the Spirit of Christ dwells, through your faith in Jesus, you are a gifted person. If you're a follower of Christ, you have been given something you didn't have before you trusted Jesus, something that now you are encouraged to use in your service to the Lord and to your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Now, if this notion of spiritual gifts is foreign to you, you're sitting here wondering, what in the world is he talking about? Now, you'll know I sent an email this week that included an article I found actually on Tyndale Publishing and just kind of an introduction to spiritual gifts. So hopefully you got that. I did print off some handouts, and you'll see them back there on the purple-topped box. The box with the purple top. And so if you want to pick one of those up on the way out, please feel free to do that. All right, Ephesians 4. And I wanted to just, first of all, reread a couple verses we read last week. So verse 4, it says there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that's referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking of, you know, A.B. Simpson, who was the founder of the Christian Alliance, the Alliance Church. He said that there was one baptism and many fillings. And Paul gives us that in Ephesians chapter 1, doesn't he, at around verse 13, where he says, you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, that deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. But we're commanded to be filled with that Spirit. So if you've received Christ today, he's given you the very same Spirit that hovered over the waters in Genesis chapter 1. That's astounding if you think about it. By the way, the Holy Spirit takes a very prominent place in the book of Ephesians. He is mentioned about a dozen times here in Ephesians. And I refer to him as a he because he is the Spirit of God, part of the Trinity. So there's one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who was over all and through all and in all. Verse 7, but to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That's why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in this faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, I'm only going to scratch the surface on this today, but the study of spiritual gifts is an important one. So for your own reading, it's easy to remember where the Bible speaks about it. It's dealt with in Romans 12, this subject, 1 Corinthians 12, and here in Ephesians 4. Actually, Peter also makes a brief mention. That's also in chapter 4 of his first letter. So Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. When you think about it, that's awfully consistent, isn't it? Something else very interesting. In Romans chapter 12, you'll discover that it is God the Father that is the giver of these gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, it's the manifestation of the Spirit that is given for the common good. And here in Ephesians 4, it is the resurrected Christ who is the source of these gifts. And in this case, gifted people that he gives to the church. So all three members of the Trinity are involved, and every follower of Christ has been given at least one of these special endowments of the Spirit. It's also worth noting that immediately following, when he mentions the gift in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, the apostle then goes on to speak about love. In Romans, it's actually verse 9 to 21, and after you get through Romans 12, you get to Romans 13. Who hasn't heard that at a wedding, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is important. And here in Ephesians 4, he'll also talk about treating our brothers and sisters in love. It's down there in verse 25 to verse 32, but that's where you'll find words about speaking truthfully to your neighbor. In your anger, do not sin. Do something useful with your hands. In other words, you work so you'll have something to share with those in need. And that great verse, Ephesians 4 and verse 32. You could put this verse up on a nice plaque at your front door of your house. This is coffee mug and calendar worthy, all right? Ephesians 4, verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Verse 32. Well, I'm getting far ahead of myself, though, of course, here in Ephesians. But the emphasis on love is very important because I think sometimes the subject of spiritual gifts can actually divide us, especially when it comes to what we might consider the more spectacular of the gifts. In fact, I would strongly suggest that you read Romans 12 as well as 1 Corinthians 12. Actually, even read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Three chapters, it won't take you that long. And you'll notice that each and every gift is important. And some of the more spectacular gifts were even downplayed by the Apostle Paul. Every member of the body is placed in the church exactly how God wants them placed. Now, verse 16 here in Ephesians 4, we read that. It makes it very clear that we're held together by every supporting ligament, growing, we're building ourselves up in love as each part of the body does its work. Christ is the head. Now, there's two different meanings for that word head, by the way, in the New Testament. One is, you know, the head, the boss, the CEO, the chief. But there's also this idea of the source. You know, think of a head, the head of a river, where a river comes from. And as I read that verse, I think to myself, this is Jesus. As the head of our church, he's the source of the body's life. Our life comes from him. He's the one in charge, of course. But all of us, we are also those supporting ligaments because we support one another when we use the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of each other. Every one of us is different. We're not photocopies of one another. We're each given different gifts for the benefit of the body. Every member of the body is needed. And when we exercise our gifts, then the whole church can grow. And that has nothing to do with numerical growth, by the way. That has to do with maturity, even in a small group, right? Although, thank you so much for packing this place as much as we can legally fill it. This is great. I know, you folks on your couch at home, it's still okay. Now, verses 9 and 10, there's a bit of a problem with that. I didn't even know if I should get into this too much. I'll be really quick. It's a quotation from Psalm 68 and verse 18. If you look at the passage in Psalm 68, you'll see that it refers to God, which makes sense. But it says this. This is Psalm 68 and verse 10. When you ascended on high, you took many captives, you received gifts from people. Here in Ephesians, Paul says that he gave gifts to his people. Well, which is it? Did the Lord give gifts or receive them? And have we finally discovered a contradiction in the Scriptures? Well, first of all, when you see New Testament writers quoting from the Old Testament, maybe you've even noticed it. If you've ever looked in your Bible, you read a quote in the New Testament referring back to something in the Old, you'll even discover in your English Bible that, oh, it looks a bit different than what they're quoting. And that's because they quoted from something called the Septuagint, which was really an ancient translation of the Hebrew Scriptures into Greek. That's what they used. So it was slightly different. Now, that would help explain it, except in this case, because many scholars here believe that Paul wasn't using the Septuagint. No, he was quoting probably from something called the Aramaic Targum. Sounds like something you chew. But it's used by Orthodox Jews to interpret the text. So the Septuagint translates the Hebrew as "you have taken." Targum translated as "you have given." So in any event, the idea is, by these two translations of the Hebrew, is that God received or took gifts so that they could be distributed to people. It's something that returning conquering warriors do. And by the way, we're led in that same train, right? That's why we walk in victory, because Christ has led us in a victorious procession because of what he's done. So when Paul says that he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, he then quotes the passage from Psalm 68 to show that Christ was victorious over our spiritual enemies, taking from those enemies the spoils of battle, so to speak, and passing on the gifts to believers who in the exercise of these gifts can be victorious over the enemy. Here in Ephesians 4, the spoils of battle, the treasures that he has wrestled out of the hands of the enemy, they're people. Have you been rescued out of the kingdom of darkness? Gifted people who are now given to the church body as a whole, including pastors and teachers, but I'm not about to insist that you ever think of me as, God's gift to Generations Church. Or maybe I should. Well, Paul's... Anyway, never mind. I also need to mention something else at this point because there are some other extremes that I think we would do well to avoid regarding the whole issue. Now, I should tell you, I do not find myself in total agreement with the more conservative side of Christianity. And there are some wonderful pastors and teachers and Bible theologians in conservative Christian circles. And they would say that many of these gifts are no longer in operation today. Don't need them now that we have the full Bible, which I've never actually figured out why that is the case. So I don't really side with them. But I do have to tell you, I can't side totally with what seems to be a growing number of believers who are quite sure that all of the gifts are functioning today and in the very same way they've always functioned. After all, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so it sounds very spiritual, but I don't think that's accurate either. Now, as I mentioned, there are several lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament. So for that reason, I want to first of all tell you that I'm of the opinion that these are not exhaustive. Right? If you don't have one of that in that list, these aren't the only gifts the Spirit can give. I know all kinds of people. They have gifts that aren't even mentioned in any of these lists, but they bless the church. They bless the church when they exercise what God has given them. In other words, I think it is worth saying that God the Father and the risen Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, can decide to give whatever gifts, whenever, and to whomever they choose. Particularly as we draw near to what is called in the Bible the latter days, as we draw near to the end of the age. I'm convinced we're drawing near to that. And as we do, we should expect to see. Actually, we should expect to see both an increase in manifestations of the power of God, right? But also an increase in the counterfeit that comes from Satan. Jesus warned of many false Christs, many signs and wonders that even the elect could be fooled by them. Now, it's very worth noting, too, there are definite changes that take place throughout even the New Testament regarding at least some of these gifts. There's an ebb and flow that gets ignored sometimes. I want to just show you a bit what I mean. The gift of healing, for instance. In Acts 19, we read that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured. And I remember watching a guy on TV saying, hey, write in, send me a donation, and I'll send you this prayer cloth. It's been prayed over. You put it on whatever you need healing for. But when Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, sometime after these miraculous events, he says, Timothy, stop drinking only water. Use a little wine. Well, because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. And I thought, frequent illnesses? Why didn't he just send Timothy a handkerchief? Why didn't he just say, Timothy, it is not God's will for you to be sick. I rebuke those illnesses in the name of Jesus. Be healed. He didn't say that, did he? I thought of this at breakfast the other morning. We have come so far from the perfection of the original creation. Human sin, fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, it has meant that even the earth has deteriorated. Even the natural world around us is groaning. As beautiful as, well, even on a day like today, as beautiful as it is, God made it originally even more beautiful than we can imagine. New diseases, new viruses always popping up, sometimes migrating from animals to humans. The breaking down of these once perfectly made bodies of ours. You know, people will say, well, I have an immune system. Well, yeah, I do too, but sometimes mine needs help now because I'm breaking down. I'm very grateful for dedicated men and women who are always working so hard, searching for ways to heal diseases, to help alleviate human suffering. Aren't you glad for them? I mean, we hear people talking about big pharma and how terrible that is, and they're just out to keep us sick and make big money. But you've experienced it. You've experienced the real care that comes from a doctor, from a nurse, from a PSW, from a physiotherapist, someone who just genuinely wants to help, even a total stranger. We've come a long way from when God said that everything was good. He's going to restore it someday, of course. But in the meantime, we help one another. Those of you who were there, did you get that from our Bible study on Zoom this week? That we're here to help one another? Praying for one another? Encouraging one another? Wasn't that an amazing time, Mark? That's what God desires for his children. That's what makes a victorious Christian church. When we come alongside one another. Now, a little aside. Do you want to turn with me briefly to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Something that's important to note. There are several things in here important to note. But just thinking again about the changes in some of these gifts over time, when we think about the gift of healing, the Bible does not call it that. Did you know that? In fact, somebody might even thank me for pointing this out. I don't know. But in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, it says, once again, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. And in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And then he says this, to another, gifts of healing. Do you notice it's in the plural there? Gifts of healing. And you'll find the same thing in 1 Corinthians 12, down in verse 27, where it says, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, and then it says gifts of healing, in the plural, gifts of healing. When we think of this idea of healing, it is always in the plural. Do you know what I believe that means? I believe it means that each and every healing is the gift. Each, every healing. As if to say that every single one of us can come and ask the Lord for healing, either for ourselves or someone else. Now, I mentioned this in our summer series in the book of James. God decides. He always has the final say. But if you remember, I did a whole sermon on healing. I said that I just believe we would see more if we asked more. That's all. So, ask. Whoever you are in the body of Christ, whatever spiritual gift you have received, healing is the one gift in the lists that is in the plural. Each time God heals, either by miraculous ways or through medical ways or a combination of both, each is a gift given by God as he chooses. And as we continue to pray for one another, may more and more of us be able to rejoice with one another over the answers that God gives, but all as he wills. We learned as well in our Bible study last Wednesday from the life of Paul that our focus is not here, right? It's not to be on this place here. It's on the future, the good future that God has promised to every single person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Sometimes, and God bless her heart, my heart went right out to Wendy there. Not Mark's wife, Wendy. Wendy Sumner. The thing she's been through, she shared quite a bit with us. And sometimes we go through tragic things that there just isn't a good answer for. Any of you been through, of course you have. Worst thing someone like me can do is come along and say, oh, cheer up, things will get better. No. We have all been through things that there isn't an explanation for. But as we support one another, as we bear one another's burdens, we will understand it. We will know fully when we finally get home. Again, the Holy Spirit can at any time decide to do whatever he wants, wherever and with whomever. Here, one more word here on this idea of, well, just a progression, changes in the gift. Remember in several places in the Gospels, Jesus spoke about both wheat and weeds, right? Some of you remember from your Sunday school class, the wheat and the tares, right? Darkness and light, truth and falsehood. You ever had people say, oh, things are getting really bad. They're getting worse all the time. Yeah, that's true. Someone else will come along and say, no, I think things are getting better. Things are getting better all the time. Lots of improvements in the world. Yeah, that's true too. Jesus said both would grow together until the harvest. So in some ways things are getting better, some ways things are getting worse. That's the way it'll always be. We need discernment. It's actually one of the gifts listed in the Bible. We need people who can discern. That's the importance of maturity too, isn't it? Listen, I wonder sometimes just how close we are to the day. We're certainly getting indications. The day when Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 24, now that's an easy reference to remember. We think of Matthew 24 as talking about the future. Well, Matthew 24, verse 24, he said, false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Be careful when people claim some sort of secret knowledge that they have. You know, something that, well, you can have too if you'll join our group. Be careful of that. Apostles, for instance, they made quite a comeback in our day. Entire denominations even call their ministers apostles. Now, when we think of that word, we immediately recall the original 12, the 12 apostles, and then people like the apostle Paul, who encountered the risen Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road. They met Christ. They saw him. We count on their writings here in the Bible to have been inspired, actually in a way that ended with the death of John in the AD 90s. We're not looking for anybody to come along and write new scripture for us, right? But in the New Testament, there's another use of the word apostle. Technically, it refers to the 12, but generally speaking, the word itself means a sent one, someone who is sent. So Titus and Barnabas, for instance, are referred to as apostles in 2 Corinthians 8. They didn't meet the Lord Jesus. Hey, do you want to bug some of your more conservative friends? Sorry, it's the Irish in me coming out. Point out that in Romans chapter 16, Paul refers to a woman named Junia, who he says is outstanding among the apostles. Junia was an apostle. Mary Magdalene, on the day she saw Jesus in the garden, she said, go tell my brothers. She was sent. Oh, why would he send a woman? Nobody listens to them. Believe that? It's been less than 100 years since women have even been declared human and given the right to vote. Terrible, isn't it? No, we believe in equality here at Generations Church. And in our modern day, there are apostles. Oh, yeah. Now, some of you have met Gord Martin. Vision Ministries, or I think he spoke here on Zoom, in between Pastor Colin and me. Now, I've known Gord for more than 40 years, and we meet frequently. In fact, I'm meeting this week with him for coffee. He's a huge help for me. He gives me all kinds of advice. He gives advice and provides leadership to all kinds of churches and ministries, all over the world, in fact. I mean, I've called him the Energizer Bunny. The guy's like 80, just about 80 years old. He was just in Kenya last month. Now, I believe totally that he would qualify. He himself, by the way, would be the last person in the world to ever call himself Gord the Apostle or Apostle Martin. In fact, he would be incredibly embarrassed if he found out that I was mentioning him here this morning, so we're just going to keep that to ourselves. But be careful of somebody who insists on using such a title, who seems to want the prestige or the respect that comes. Well, I've met people who call themselves prophets or the prophetess. I've met people who do that. Again, plenty in our day and age. They gather quite a large following in churches and ministries all over the world. But are all of them prophets? In 2019, all over the internet, they were proclaiming 2020 is the year of vision. Great miracles and blessings from God are coming. Did anybody predict a pandemic? No, people, even followers of Jesus, wasting away in a hospital or nursing home. People losing their businesses. People losing their jobs in 2020 or 2021. I'm just saying be careful of anyone who claims to have a direct word from God, especially as we get closer to the time of the Lord's return. Here, one more thing you may or may not thank me for now, as I just wrap up this short, all over the map sort of review on spiritual gifts. In Matthew 11, Jesus said that all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, as in John the Baptist. The author of the letter to Hebrews says very clearly, and right at the start of that letter in Hebrews, that in times past, God spoke to us by our ancestors, by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So there is a definite progression, a change in this gift as well. It started way back in the first century among the early church. Now, prophets were certainly around because they're mentioned by Paul. John the Baptist had already died at that point. So they were there. But the prophets of old had an authority to highlight their message to the people with those words, "Thus saith the Lord." And according to the law, all right, does anybody know, according to the law, what happened to a prophet who prophesied something that didn't come true? They died. You were allowed to take their life if they prophesied anything that did not come true. Huh? What does Paul say? Actually, you'll find it in 1 Corinthians 14 if you want to look it up sometime. Because he encourages prophesying. But it seems to have more the idea now, not so much as foretelling what's going to happen in the future, but rather a telling forth of God's word for the church. And if you read it, it's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. He talks about, well, two, maybe three should speak. And rather than assume that everybody in the congregation just, oh, this is a message from God, everybody, we better get on board with this thing, we're told that everybody should weigh carefully what is being said. Now, when you read 1 Corinthians 14, boy, it sure seemed like a really lively meeting back in those days. People had a word here, people had a word there, a prophecy, a tongue. It was an electric room. It was an electric room. Ah, maybe when COVID is over, we'll have a bit more of that ourselves. But it's the idea in the Bible that we need to test the spirits. Let's talk this out. Let's discern. We're all gifted people here. Let's see if this brother or sister really is speaking a word from the Lord. Right? So today, you know, someone who is a prophet, someone would say something like, you know, well, brothers and sisters, I believe God is telling us to do this. But I want to hear what you think as well. What do you think? I see the prophet as one who discerns what is happening around him or her. They've learned to listen in their times of prayer. And under a burden of conviction, they decide the Spirit of God is really indicating that they should deliver a clear word of warning or exhortation. Something that needs to be spoken and carefully considered by the other members of the body, each one also gifted with something from the Spirit, with all your gifts. So as we read in 1 Corinthians 12, we read it there, each one of you has a gift given, and it's for the common good. Each one of you is a part of the body of Christ. Peter in his letters and John writing in the book of Revelation, well, they go even so far as to say that you're priests. We must all carefully weigh and test any word before saying amen to anybody. Oh, I guess at this point I ought to say I don't expect you to believe everything I say. Well, search it out in the Word of God. Let me know if I've just said something crazy this morning. Because together we will come to agreements as to where God is leading. Where God is leading this particular little group of Christ followers. Well, I can see by the clock on the wall that I better wrap this up. Now, I said it somewhat in jest. I do believe God has put me here, at least for now. Maybe for the next week, for all I know, but at least now I'm put here as a pastor, aren't I? I'm put here as your pastor. Now, you'll have to decide if I'm gifted in that way or not. But in spite of what is on my business card, you do know, don't you? Well, if you don't, I'm going to tell you right now. You are the ministers in this church. I know in some bigger churches it says, you know, the parking spot, minister. Yeah, don't try and take that one, of course. But no, you are the ministers in this church. As with every gift given to everybody, my function also is to prepare God's people for works of service. My job is to actually work myself out of a job. But no time soon. I had to look at my snow tires the other day, and I think they're going to be okay for one more winter, but you know, I might need the money. But I really am counting on some of you smarter, more spiritual people to help me do what God has called me to do. It's not easy. I'll tell you that right now. Let me just conclude. And again, pick up the little handout on the box with the purple top at the back when you leave, or maybe you opened up in the email last week. And by the way, there are all kinds of places online. You can even do little tests, you know, to see what your spiritual gift is. Yeah. Now you got to be careful with some of them, you know. But yeah, it's quite interesting. I hope you've discovered what your spiritual gift or gifts are. But let me conclude by exhorting you. Sorry, I didn't mean to look right at you as I said you. Whatever your gifts are, use them. Use them. Let's thank God for them. And let's start seeing the people around us here as not only gifted, but even themselves actual gifts that God has given to the church. Even in a church of this size, do you really believe there is only one pastor in here? No, I know for a fact. There are more than a couple who would do a far better job at this than I would. I'm not the only pastor in this church. Let us all encourage and support each other in growing up in Him who is the head. Christ is the source of the body's life, this body's life. Father, I want to just, again, thank you in Jesus' name. You loved us so much that you gave your only Son. And Jesus said he had to leave. And he said to those men that were just heartbroken, what are we going to do now? He said, I won't leave you as an orphan. And he gave us the promised Holy Spirit. So Lord, you are present with us today. You are right here. If we could just see, if we could just open up a curtain somehow and just look at what's going on in the spirit world around us, we would be absolutely astounded. But you're here. You are here in each and every single person. Lord, I see so many gifted people as I pray here. And I see you people, some of you people on Zoom as well. I know you're just sitting on your couch drinking a cup of coffee, but you have gifts. Incredible gifts from God. And we need each and every one here. And Lord, you placed everybody here as you wanted them to be. So Lord, may it be for your glory, your honor, your praise. Anything that we do, help us be able to set people free to do what it is that you've gifted them to do. All for the glory of the kingdom of God, all to build up your church. And now, friends, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. May he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen. Amen.